Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. That's why we're late. It's typically during the season, you'll hear this college football podcast on Sundays, and then you'll hear it usually on like Wednesday, Thursday. And what happened this week? We had Labor Day. It's
No,
a holiday.
what happened this week is you were a coward.
We had a holiday, Ryan.
Okay, sure. What I think is Florida got its ass handed to it. Looked like, I don't know, let's conservatively say the 122nd offense in the nation, because that's where they rank right now. And you were too afraid. You were too afraid to talk about it.
There's a hole in your theory. There's a hole in your theory.
Yeah.
About to stick my dirty finger through it, and that's this.
Wow.
What's new about that?
Shit.
Buddy.
So what changed? Actually happened was we planned to record on Sunday night. We said, as soon as these two Sunday night games end, we'll hop in the booth. And then the Aggies went and generated news that had to be turned into content. So got a little busy with having to put things on the website. The Aggies broke this podcast in the first episode of the season.
Let's just play a quick game. Let's just get the Florida-Michigan game out of the way, thusly. I'm going to name a team, and you tell me if they have rushed for more yards on the season than Florida or not, okay? I'm just going to jump around here. We're going to play this rapid fire. Spencer, you're answering all of these. Colorado.
Yes.
Temple.
Yes.
Vanderbilt.
Yes.
Purdue.
Yes.
South Carolina.
Yes.
Kent State.
No.
Akron.
Yes.
Florida Atlantic.
No.
Indiana.
Yes.
The answer is yes to all of them. Florida is last in the nation with 11 rushing yards this season.
Wow.
Just for everybody. Oh, why are Spencer and Ryan always so fucking whiny about Florida won all these national titles and has Heisman's and 11. 11 rushing yards this season. Bottom of the list. All right? We can continue.
Yeah. I think our stance, you should just know this up front. I'm going to say it now. We're recording this on September 6, 2017. And I'm going to base this exclusively on my rules, which my rules of human behavior, which are that you have to function in light, not with these rules, but sort of against them, right? The best way to predict what people are doing is to look at their examples of mistakes in their past. They will continue to make these mistakes and they will learn nothing. No one ever learns anything and they repeat the same mistakes over and over and over again. People do not change. They do not improve. What's Florida's offense been the last 2 years, Ryan?
Two.
Okay, we're limiting this to the Jim McElwain era, because they're the people who said that they can fix this, right?
Sure. Let's see. Florida doesn't have a steady quarterback situation, can't keep an offensive line healthy or unified or talented enough to keep a quarterback or a running back healthy and productive, has no downfield passing game to really speak of, which is even more frustrating because, like, three plays a game, they'll throw a deep pass that works, and you're like, oh, shit, here it comes. Nope. That was a lie. Those were the four drops of rain that made you think the drought was ending, and it's not. It entirely depends on defensive turnovers and big special teams play to win or lose a game. And it's just boring. It's not fun. It's incredibly not fun.
In 2015, Jim McElwain's first year on the job?
Yeah.
100th in scoring offense. 100.
I mean, you can just look at you can just look at week one, and you can look at the like Florida lost, right? And that's fine. I don't care that Florida lost to Michigan. Michigan's a better team, better coached, has probably recruited better than last. All of these things are fine. Lots of other teams lost, like Indiana lost. That game was close until it wasn't, which sounds a lot like the Florida Michigan game. Indiana was a hell of a lot more fun to watch than Florida.
Mm-hmm. So was Purdue.
Purdue was a hell of a lot more fun to watch than Florida.
Our Arkansas State was a lot more fun to watch against Nebraska. They lost. You know what? They lost bravely. Oh, in 2016, 107th in total offense. In terms of scoring offense, they were 107th. So, but using my rules, they're already done. That's done. This coaching staff's done.
I just
Gator talk's
they
done.
Cannot.
Yeah, we're done. Yeah, we're done talking about Florida for no.
I would like to get that. I would like to get that on the record.
So
they're done. This won't improve. They won't get better. Jim McElwain will fail at Florida, and an offensive coach was brought in to fix a problem he cannot fix because he's not capable of it. And also, if you year two, David Wunderlich on Twitter wrote a great breakdown of what went wrong against Michigan. Michigan's great. They're going to have an awesome year, y'all. They're a great football program. They have confidence in their players. If you watch the mistakes that were made on offense, they are not ones of scheme. They're ones of execution, and they're ones that are made by people with a lot of experience, which if you watch over and over again, you go, these people don't care what they're being told. They don't trust it. They don't trust their coaches. They don't like their coaches. Like, nothing. None of this is working at any point. So, and I don't need that. I'm not even thin slicing here. You're basing off 2 years of zero improvement or ability to develop offensive players. Bye. This is over. It's crap. I don't want to watch it.
All right.
I'm gonna watch it.
Gator talk is over. I know this is technically week two preview. Because, again, Spencer is scared and we didn't get a chance to talk about week one. Let's just, like, get all this out. Week one, everybody overreacts to. Every year we say, why did we overreact to it? But what week one really is it's the first day of school. And the first day of school, your goal is not, like, nobody walks out and says and does something so cool or so amazing that you're like, oh, man, everybody loves you now. The first day of school is about avoiding disaster. It's about not accidentally sitting on a burrito in the lunchroom so that you have burrito all over your jeans. And then that's what your burrito ass for the rest of the year. That's what week one is about. Just don't do that. So, like, Washington, did you look great against Rutgers? No. But ultimately, you didn't sit in the burrito. Texas A&M? Texas? Baylor? Yeah, y'all just, beans all over that denim.
A&M, they were like, they didn't just sit in it. I think Texas and Baylor sat in it. A&M, they were like standing up on the lunch table. People were chanting their name. Right. You know, they had on the greatest new shoes in the whole place. Like, you know, that's like one way you can impress in week one. You know, you walk in with Adidas Boosts and hey, that's like beating Texas.
Does that kid have a pimp cane? Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh my God. He's standing on the lunch table with a pimp cane and he's got a sideline DJ and he's chewing a lot of cool gum. And we just put up, this weekend, a shot in a Freude brought that back and found a lot of Aggies who are unhappy about Kevin Sumlin chewing gum. Apparently that is a big contentious issue. And they think that contributed to, the defensive collapse and the inability to call run plays. But like, it's a big time thing. They do not like he's chewing on food and he ain't swallowing it. I don't trust it. But you're chewing the coolest gum and everyone loves it. And then
the burrito. He looks like a cow chewing a cud. And we're Aggies. We're supposed to be controlling the cows, not becoming them. That's against nature.
I just want to slaughter him and turn him into brisket.
That's a complaint from like 70 years ago, right? That's like a complaint about like those kids hanging down at the soda shop.
Texas A&M, the Singapore of college football.
It's like if you see like Idaho's coach wearing a visor or something, wearing a hat indoors, no good son of a bitch.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Yale leaders started caning each other. So this all fits.
I know which school had a member of their core, the Aggie core, pull a sword on a rival.
That's true.
And there's no one else in the SEC who's pulled that. Okay? They weren't in conference when they did it. Spiritually, if you doubt that they're in their proper home, pulled a sword.
You know,
I can't get any more like, you know, honor code bullshit than that.
It is appropriate that on the same week that Texas legalized open carry swords, two Texas teams at home, A&M was on the road, both committed ritual seppuku. So that was fun.
That was good. Hey, who defended state of Texas? I want to put this out there.
TCU.
Texas Tech. You know what?
Dude, TCU and Texas Tech are our most freakish Texas teams.
They gave up a combined 10 points. TCU played defense. We were calling them for them to lose to an FCS team.
Hey, Who's that quarterback for TCU?
Why would that be
Mr. September Heisman himself.
That would be Texas A&M's Kenny Hill.
Kenold Hill.
Transferred to TCU.
Kenrith Hill.
Might confuse that guy. Is that what we're saying?
I just like pointing out painful things. Painful, obvious things that I can point to so that people feel as badly as I do about their football team.
How'd Kyle Allen do in week one for Houston? Or as Houston hasn't played yet, has
Houston
they?
Hasn't played. Yeah, Houston got
Kyle postponed. Allen has not thrown 14 incompletions in the second half of a game in which he was winning by as many as 34 points. He hasn't done that.
It's time to talk about week two. Week one is dead. Long live week one. If you emerge from it unscathed, great. If, like we mentioned, you emerge from it scathed better than you thought you would be, hello Purdue Boilermakers, good for you. But we're done with it now, and we're moving on to week two, which is, it's fine. It exists.
It's dense.
It's dense.
It is.
It's a real granola bar of a week, where you're like, yeah, I'm going to eat this because I think it's good for me, and it's got everything I need, and it's going to back me up for a little bit. And that's okay.
I think this week is the salad bar where you start with, oh, okay, I'm technically eating. You know, I'm eating some lettuce. That's the Thursday night. There are technically multiple games, you know. Then Friday in the early slate, it's all right, let's continue eating the basics. Then they pick up toward the end. And then by the end, this jam-packed primetime spot, that's when you just give up and you're just eating mac and cheese and biscuits, like 3 plates of that.
Yeah.
Stanford, Oklahoma, Ohio. Georgia, Notre Dame, and Clemson, Auburn.
There's some good sushi on this menu, but you're gonna have to drink a lot of miso soup before you get to it. A lot.
Mm. Yeah, there's a weird thing the chef just sort of sent out on a whim that you kind of regret getting. That's Friday night. Friday night you get Oklahoma State at South Alabama. Like one of the country's best offenses and a Power 5 program just heading down to Mobile because college football is secretly a distribution system for Mexican steroids hustled through the Mobile port? I don't know. I'm trying to come up with answers, y'all, and this is not helping.
Yeah, it's okay if you skip Thursday, Friday. You have our permission.
It's completely okay. Although I might, I'm a degenerate. I will watch Ohio at Purdue because that seems like I like watching Purdue now because Jeff Brohm's their coach and they have a will to live and they want to score points. I find that novel. So I'll probably watch that even though it's on FS1 at 8 p.m. on a Friday.
Yeesh. Saturday at noon. Yeah, there's a lot you can skip here too. I will say...
Can I start playing the trumpet fanfare that accompanies this?
Go for it.
Two teams enter. Two teams leave. El Asico!
El Asico!
That's good. And this is some of the best audio you've ever contributed to this program.
I want the Matador music.
All right.
Where it's just two Matadors and no bull. That's El Asico. two guys with capes.
Two men waving capes at each other. Aren't they brothers? Shut up. This is a fierce rivalry. They hate these two Matadors hate each other. What happens when they play actual
gourd?
What happens when they play bulls? Ooh, it's not good. Not great. Let's start with our first fearless week two prediction from Eric Van Horn at Van Horn Eric. El Asico will hit the over. Do either of you, I know, but I'm going to ask you, do either of you know what the over-under for this game is?
12.
Okay, good guess. Strong guess.
I was about to make fun of you, but that's a really good prediction. I'm going to say that the over for this game is 38.
It's 48.5.
I'm only off by 10.5 points.
It's 48.5. Iowa State scored 42 points to beat Northern Iowa. week one. Even though they only outgained you and I by 27 yards, they won the turnover battle 3-1. They were fine. I mean, they rushed for less than 4 yards a carry. That's not great. And then you take Iowa, who beat Wyoming 24-3. They did so.
If you didn't watch that, by the way, and you probably didn't, I'll fill you in. Iowa looked like Iowa, man. I'm actually like pretty optimistic about their chances all over the board because they look real ugly. Quarterback play was at times shaky. They ran the ball and they just beat the hell out of Wyoming on defense. So playing like two coverages. So in other words, Iowa back, baby.
So can we get to 48.5 points between these two teams?
What is the ugliest score that could make both teams look disappointing and unhappy?
To get to the over?
Yeah.
To get to 49 points, I think it would be 29, 21. Nah, that looks close and interesting. 32-17. I'll land on that.
I see. I just think a 30-19 game looks awful because there's multiple field goals.
Sure.
Some like a safety there's, in there.
Yeah, there's some conversion. Missed 2-point conversion. Yeah.
I mean, 30, that's 10 field goals.
Only and by Jason the way, we is thinking have... of this the right way.
Yeah.
Iowa fan, if you're listening and you're filling out your complaint form, we do have, as we mention every time we make fun of Iowa on this program, we have for years now, we have renewed our license to make fun of Iowa on the internet. I know it says on the documentation that only you are allowed to do that. You roast your football program day and night, and then whenever someone else joins in, you know, it's a big hassle, but we do have clearance, and we will show you the documentation upon request.
It's true. Also, you wave to the kids at the kids' hospital right over the side. That's like a thing you all do now. That's great. You're awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
You're all good people. We're going to roast your program. It's going to happen. We do this to everybody. We do this to our own programs.
Yeah.
Did y'all not hear Gator Talk to open the program? Jesus. Did y'all not hear those 7 minutes of Gator Talk?
Considering these two teams played each other not that long ago, I'm way higher on Iowa than I am on Florida.
Yeah, and Florida won.
God.
Well, I don't know if we're licensed to say Iowa lost the football game.
We're not. You have to wait. It's like copyright law. You have to wait 20 years or something, and then you can talk about it. Then it becomes, you know, open source. You can fair use it. Other legal terms that I'm not using correctly. It's fine.
A Wikimedia Commons.
That's right.
That Iowa loss.
We can't use it for commercial purposes. And I say that because it's time to talk about Dollar Shave Club.
Yo, transition. That's nice.
So Dollar Shave Club is all about saving you time. Not just as a shaver, because like they got everything, man. They got body wash, shampoo, hair gel, lip balm. All of these products that you can have. And you're wondering, like, well, you know, I like to be in and out of the bathroom. I like to just get it done. Well, I don't know that I necessarily need all of these extra things. If you're a Florida fan like Spencer and I, you want to stall in other parts of your life. You want to take other parts of your life and make them as luxurious and spend as much time in them as you can. You know what you can do in 48 minutes? You can take the most luxurious shower with Dollar Shave Club. Do you know what you're not going to do in the shower? You're not going to watch a snap of Florida football. You're just going to be in the shower crying and wondering why you decided to care about this stupid, stupid football team. But you're going to do it with a little more money in your pocket if you go to dollarshaveclub.com/fullcast. That's right. A real American company said, this is the podcast we want to be associated with. We will hitch our wagon to this terrible third world rocket, and we will go to the stars or we will blow up trying. We'll hit that launch button, baby. we just all blew up and died. DollarShaveClub.com/fullcast. You save money. You get the starter set with the executive razor, 3 trial size versions of their most popular products. And again, none of these boxes contain any Florida football. They're all Florida football free. You don't have to watch any of it. Sorry, we can continue.
Ryan, good job again. My favorite part of that was when you said as a shaver, because it made me think of when people say, like, as a man, this doesn't sit well with me. You know, like, as a mother, I don't like the weather
as
outside.
A gamer. As a gamer, which is definitely
about ethics
a
and shaving idea. Journalism.
You vape and you shave. That's it. You're a vapor and a shaver.
I'm a clean shaven vapor. They call me baby face vape.
Yeah. So, you know,
speaking of vape, can I transition from vaping?
Seamlessly. Go.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. Pitt and Penn State.
We got a lot of people who are making bold predictions. We got Pete Havern, at Pete Havern. A week after Youngstown State, after taking them to OT, Pitt is going to beat Penn State in Happy Valley. We got a lot of people saying Pitt's going to win this game again, get right back in the playoff. I don't know about – I just don't know.
I think if Penn State wants to go undefeated the rest of the way, they have to lose this game.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think this is the year Pitt and Penn State, like, Freaky Friday and trade roles. And by the end of the season, people are like, well, Penn State can't be in the playoff. And we're like, yeah, but they did beat Pitt. So
exactly. No good team goes to the national title without tussling with Pitt.
We're going to get. Right? Yeah. So and why can't that be Pitt? You know, why can't it be Pitt that loses to Pitt? And therefore earns a place in the national playoff. You see what I mean?
Yeah, it's existential. I think we've seen Pitt lose to Pitt before, yeah.
Right, but not this season.
Chris Gates is on, man. I think this is true. Also, I enjoy the style of football that Pitt plays, where if they lose this game, right, if they win this game after being taken to OT by Youngstown State, it makes perfect sense. I'm just like, I don't know, they're feeling especially pity that day. Then they felt a little less Pitt. And they beat Penn State. Then they felt super pity, and they lost to, like, Wake Forest or something. It all makes sense. I can make Pitt do whatever I want to in college football, and that's one of the reasons I adore them.
This is from Run the Draw Podcast, at Run the Draw on Twitter. South Carolina and Mizzou combined for 130 points. Is this possible?
Well, anyone can score on Missouri.
That's true. Missouri gave up last week 43 points to Missouri State. By the time we hit the half, the score was Missouri 48, Missouri State 35.
So anyone who wants to make a Will Muschamp joke here, South Carolina put 35 on a good North Carolina State defensive front.
Do you know how many...
Missouri's defense is better than NC State's. There is quite a body of evidence to the contrary.
Do you know how many yards Missouri wound up with in this game?
800?
815. You were under.
I said 800.
That's what's amazing about this game is that Drew Lock throws for 500 yards, 521 yards and 7 touchdowns. They run for another almost 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. They were just clicking. But the defense was so bad, or so inconsequential maybe, that Drew Lock is the only Missouri passer who threw a pass in this game because they had to leave the starters in far longer than they should have against Missouri State because this defense is not very good. Gave up 10.1 yards a pass. Just, okay. I look forward to it. I look forward to South Carolina and Missouri becoming the offensive champions of the SEC East. I'm fine with it. I've come to terms that this is the world we live in, and I can't do anything to change it.
I would like to go to another matter of math. Can we put it that way?
Sure.
A matter of large numbers?
Yeah.
This is from at Scott Allen Johnson, a.k.a. Go Big Rev. Let's see. He calls for tears, joy, and regret. Also, Oregon will exceed 600 yards of total offense. If you look out your window, you will see a nervous Husker fan. Well, if that's the case, I'm calling the cops. Someone from Nebraska is looking in my window. That's creepy. I'm in Georgia. It means it's a vagrant. And or, you know, Scott Frost.
It's Bill Callahan. Could be either one. It's Bill Callahan, all right? He's lonely.
Bill Callahan. It's Tom Osborne, just an old wintergreen looking for a friend. No, I'm actually 600 yards. Now, you need to know, Oregon, I know, it's against a bad team, okay? But Oregon put up 703 on Southern Utah, which means they wanted to prove a point. They were gonna put some work down, and they did. Had like almost 350 yards rushing. They ran the hell out of the ball, which is probably music to Oregon fans' ears after what had happened the last couple of years to their run attack. Yeah, they ran the daylights out of it. And Nebraska really another sort of quiet game fell under the radar a little bit, but Arkansas State had them on the ropes for quite a while.
Yeah, they got outgained by Arkansas State. Nebraska had 463 yards of offense. The Arkansas State Red Wolves 497. So
yeah, they took it to the wire. Like, this was a last minute affair where, you know, Mike Riley was, wow, I was shucks. That was a crazy game afterwards, which, if I was a Nebraska fan, I'm like, why are you smiling? I know we won. And now they're gonna face Oregon and Royce Freeman, again, in his seventh year of eligibility, putting up numbers, adult numbers, which he should, because he's over 21. At this point, well over 21. Yeah, I don't see this not happening. This could be ugly. They might be able to score for a while, but Oregon's a little bit deeper. So you're probably looking at like, oh, I don't know. It's like one of those 53-52 games. Sure, just call it that. Because I would say that Oregon's defense is still an unknown quantity.
The Brady hoax's still there, you know. You're not just going to get it all out in one off season, leaving the doors and windows open. That's not how it works.
Is that an antibiotic thing, or is it kind of like a homeopathy treatment?
You know, treatments vary from state to state. The man travels, and his patterns are erratic. And yes, we probably should talk about Tennessee's defense or lack thereof at some point, but not today.
No, no, no. I want to talk about another one. That'd be Jarrett Whitworth at Whit 34. Wit underscore 34. Don't get confused with Wit 34. That guy sucks.
That bastard.
Jarrett Whitworth. Bastard. Jarrett Whitworth. I'm a UNC fan. Whew, buddy.
Uh-oh.
No doubt in my mind, Lamar Jackson has 500 total yards of offense. Again, in bets, I will not Riverside. I would not bet against that. Because, again, rewind to another game. You might have slept on that I really do want to point out, the University of California, Berkeley, went to Chapel Hill, and they beat North Carolina 35-30.
Yeah, the perpetually rebuilding Golden Bears. Like, I don't even know. I mean, they're in like a rebuild of a rebuild of a rebuild at this point, right? Something like that?
Well, they have all those Nobel Prize winners on staff who specialize in quantum mechanics. And you know how a team can either rebuild or they can be built. Right.
Cal is basically one of those like a dentist's office that's clearly in a former Pizza Hut where you can sort of see the outside and you're like, oh, it used to be a Pizza Hut. What is it? Pediatric dentistry, huh? OK.
It's like near us. There is a restaurant that took over a bank and they have this one room that it still looks like a vault. And it's called Lockdown Barbecue, which it's pretty cute.
No, that's the best. Yeah.
You can go sit in the bank vault and, like, you know, there's actually it's done up to look like you're in jail or whatever. But I just always think about, OK, so when they leave, they're just going to turn this back into a bank. That's Cal. Just it's constantly being remolded back into whatever it was that seemed like it might have worked like 4 years ago. I just like that Cal's safe space went to North Carolina and won. That's pretty funny.
This funeral home used to be a discovery zone. That's why we got all the tunnels. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kids love it down there.
It's amazing. They've got these great refrigerators for a cool day. You can just lie in them. So, Cal is the object that can occupy two spaces at once. It's the particle that can appear like over here in the rebuilding universe, but then simultaneously over in the built universe, and you're never sure where it's going to pop up. So, yeah, the quantum football program. That's Cal. The quantum football program, their quarterback, Ross Bowers, He had 363 through the air. What do you think Lamar Jackson's going to do to you?
Yeah. It's also not good because Cal last year, it looks like, only held Utah and UCLA at the end of the year to 30 points or less. Everybody else, most teams far exceeded that. So UNC, you may be in for a very unpleasant stretch here.
Yeah, I would like to go ahead and, well, establishing that the floor for UNC, just due to being UNC, when it's low and it falls out, it's real low. You got basement under basement in terms of the bottom there. I want to talk about a team that could easily, like they could also slide. It could go real fast if they're not careful.
I hope I know who you're going to say, but I don't think I do. Go ahead.
Who do you think I'm going
to
say?
Well, I'm hoping you're referring to this tweet we got from Aaron Evans at AG Evans 901, which is a picture of Robert Kakaula, and it just says UCLA loses.
If you don't know Robert Kakaula, our brother from the island, the Hawaiian announcer, the mountain of a man, maybe my favorite Homer announcer in college football history. Oh, Joey Josefa. He used to talk about Joey Josefa, one of their running backs, like he was Barry Sanders. Joey Josefa was not Barry Sanders.
Because they're like, how many 2-0 teams can you name in college football right now?
USF.
Only one. Yeah.
USF. Oh, USF and Hawaii. That's
You're
it.
Not 2-0.
2007 is back again. USF and Hawaii going undefeated.
So now here's the hardest question for you. If you have to take one team to go to 3-0, are you taking Hawaii against UCLA, or are you taking USF against UConn?
The former, because the latter game might not be played as of this recording. Might be moved mm-hmm. somewhere weird.
Wait.
Never know.
The USF game might get moved?
Yeah, well, because, you know, USF has to travel to and fro the stadium, so maybe that game's later in the year, okay. So I'm not necessarily going to bet on it.
Shit.
Yeah, Irma's going to throw a curveball right to the middle of the schedule. It's going to upset all kinds of stuff.
Like, it's not just the games in the path of the hurricane, you know, like Miami flying back from Arkansas State. That's not a good idea, doing that Sunday morning.
I just never thought we'd see a Saturday without UConn football when we thought we'd get it.
It's hard.
I was going to talk about UCLA because UCLA's got to watch their ass because they're not. There's one thing UCLA is not. They're not consistent. That's not. You can't say, oh, well, this Jim Mora coached team that depends heavily on the passing attack and took a dirt nap for half of a game against Texas A&M before relying on Texas A&M's inherent instability to outweigh their own inherent instability, catch a wave, and come back from a 44-10 deficit. I always theorize that, like, you know, if you can overcome a 44-10 deficit, you could probably blow one too. So why take advantage of this? It's all set up for you. It's all set up. Nick Rolovich has done a great job coaching there. And nobody pays attention because it's Hawaii, but he really has. And yeah, it's in the Rose Bowl. It's not a super advantage. This is open there. So I don't know. Take a flyer. Keep an eye on it. There's plenty of meat on this schedule. This is just one little tidbit.
What stood out to me from the UCLA A&M game, Josh Rosen looked great in the comeback. Josh Rosen also was doing a lot of slanging. A lot of like, oh, he threw that pass, oh. Huh? That pass worked, huh? Like
through coverages, multiple passes thrown through coverages.
I'm just saying, Josh Rosen has 5 interceptions smuggled away somewhere on his person. And Texas A&M didn't find him, but somebody will.
Somebody will. And that's not, I don't think that's a criticism of Rosen, because I just assume if you're that kind of quarterback, you're going to have games where you're like, I can throw 6 TDs.
Well,
and
also,
for the same reason, I can throw 6 INTs. Like, it can happen.
You play for Jim Mora. You should say, fuck it. You should say, I don't care. Oh, I want to play discipline to make coach. No, coach will never love you or be proud. Just throw it.
You're not gonna find love on the sideline. Trying to find it between the hashes.
You hate stepdad, okay? So go ahead and cause ruckus. Have fun. Stepdad Jim Mora sucks. And he probably won't be here next year, so what's it matter?
Mom, why?
Like him for the Jets job, huh?
Oh my god.
Love him for that Jets job. It'd be amazing.
Perfection.
God, can't believe the Bills couldn't lock down Jim Mora. But that's how it goes.
No, if they do that though, they're gonna draft Josh Rosen. We gotta get him out of this situation. That'd be awesome. Like, you know, well, Josh, are you thinking about leaving or going? Well, I'm just seeing whether Coach takes the Jets job or not. Oh, turns out I'm going for my master's.
Hey, CFL's looking more. Thinking about playing arena ball. Maybe I'm going to see if I can get baseball drafted. I'm going to try to play Wimbledon.
Play Wimbledon. I'd love to play Wimbledon. Maybe I'll learn tennis, too.
Josh Rosen was a juniors tennis player. There's no reason. Listen, if your choice is play quarterback for the Jets or be like the 208th men's tennis player in the world, go get that racket, man. Put them shorts on.
I would like to announce a transfer to BYU, which will require a 2-year mission trip beforehand. Hopefully by then, Coach Mora will be out of the Jets job, because they'll surely be picking in the top 5 every year for the next 3 years. That should be enough of a cushion.
I would like to take a question here, a prediction from Justin Graydon at J Graydon. Stanford triples USC's time of possession. I'm gonna Riverside you here. I don't think that's gonna happen, just because I think that Ronald Jones will keep the ball just enough for USC to keep you from having a 15-45 minute differential in this game. It's a nice thought, and it's probably Stanford's actual game plan, but it ain't happening. Also,
just so you know, do you know what the time of possession was in the Western Michigan game?
I believe Western Michigan had it for slightly less.
Western Michigan had the ball for about 35 minutes. USC over 25. So all they have to do is be 10 minutes of possession better than Western Michigan. That's now it doesn't seem so crazy, does it?
It does. That's nuts. That would be a Navy line.
No, but this is. But think about style of play. Like Western Michigan was not a like, let's keep it on. Let's just slow it down. Not get crazy. I mean, they ran the ball more than they threw it, but that's because they were running the ball much better than they were throwing it. And that also doesn't account for the fact that Stanford's defense is definitely going to be better than Western Michigan's. Sam Darnold looked like ass in that game.
Threw 2 picks.
Like,
didn't look good at all.
Yes, 45-15, probably outside of the realm of possibility. 37-23?
Justin, if you're right, then statistically you pulled off. If you could put money on this, go ahead. Because if you're right, you know, and somebody takes that bet, you're beating some like long odds here.
Well, we should also point out that it doesn't necessarily mean Stanford wins the game.
I would point you to the example of one Georgia Institute of Technology who against Tennessee in a game where, yeah, we predicted it last week. They rushed for 500 yards, and jokingly we said, oh, they'll probably do that and lose. Reader, they did that.
They had the ball. They had the ball for over 41 minutes of the game. Tennessee, including overtime, only ran 59 plays. Georgia Tech ran 96, and Georgia Tech lost this game.
It turns out the only time of possession that matters is the 1 second you spend carrying the ball across the goal line. And or putting it through the goalposts. All other time is just,
meaningless
just time being spent.
Well, I think that was. What Paul Johnson was trying to do was saying like, well, okay, I understand those are the seconds that matter, and if I just hoard as many seconds as I can, statistically, it's more likely that I'll have some of those seconds and not the non-second. You know, I will have some wasteful seconds, but hopefully if I just pick up this whole haystack, there will be needles in it. I love needles.
I will tell you this, too, that when I was watching it, I was just like, the Georgia Tech-Tennessee game was Rogue One. Because I was like, well, how much Darth Vader is in this movie? Well, just like a little bit. It's at the very end, but it's very effective. Tennessee just made a cameo. Just showed up like redneck Darth Vader. Ha ha! That's it. Throw him into the ceiling.
Paul Johnson Please. Just sitting on the beach holding his team. Yep, we did it. Did what?
When the death ray is coming there on the beach, I think Paul Johnson's still having those boys run through the option. We're going to do it till the fucking fire cloud takes us. You sorry sons of butts.
What's the Tennessee Death Star? Is it like a pontoon boat with a t-shirt gun?
Here it comes!
Oh, no!
I would like to say, briefly, what offended me most about Tennessee's turnover trash can was not that it exists. Because, like, ridiculous stunt props, that's fine. It's that it looks so fucking cheap, man. It literally looked like a grad assistant went to a Home Depot 3 hours before game time, took a Rubbermaid trash can over to FedEx Kinko's and was like, hey, man, what do you got with, you got any, like, decals I can throw on this? Yeah, I just need to say team 128 or whatever the hell it is. Just you know what? Give me teams 100 through 207, and it'll be one of those. I know we'll get it right.
Football will end 207 years after Tennessee started playing it. That's about right. I think my favorite part of it was how Tennessee fans insisted it's a bucket. No. That's not – buckets have, you know, handles. They're smaller. They're not trash cans. And, like, by the end of the game, however, once Tennessee won, ball fans are, you know, I love the trash can. Trash can is actually good.
I think we should fire Butch Jones and hire that trash can.
Naming my daughter trash can.
That's how they're going to do it. They're just going to joyfully fire Butch Jones, stuff him in it, carry it off the field. Woo, we did it.
I mean,
team 120, whatever.
I do kind of hope Tennessee goes the Stanford route of endowed positions. And they're like, yeah, he's the waste management coach of offense. Offensive coordinator.
I'm not going to bust on him for, like, you know, what kind of trash cans you buying, Brooklyn? What, you got some?
We just throw our trash on the street. I don't know what you're talking about, cans.
That is the Rutgers method of hoping for turnovers.
But I'm also not bragging about. I'm not out here displaying my trash on the sideline. I'm not out here pimping this shit. That's the difference.
That's
We're gonna reach it.
Hey, look we're at this! Hey, everybody, look at this trash.
We're gonna refurbish this trash. Then we're not gonna win a game there. It's time to approach what I think is the game where I'm like most conflicted in terms of who to root for. But I gotta do it because I hate one team more than I dislike generally the other. That would be Georgia Notre Dame. Because that's happening, by the way.
Yeah, go Dogs. Go Dogs.
100%.
So easy. So easy.
Yeah, it's an easy call, because for a second I'm like, nope. Definitely doing this. And if you're conflicted at all, remember that, you know, that Brian Kelly's the coach. And you can blame yourself for however this game goes, but it doesn't matter because Brian Kelly's going to blame you no matter what happens. Trash Bandicoot at MCGAHA07, MGAHA07. I will not watch a single second of Georgia Notre Dame, and I will be a better person because of it. Depends on what you're doing. Like, I gotta, whatever your replacement activity is, I gotta know. Because this game.
To be clear, you could be watching Auburn at Clemson, which might be a very mm-hmm. good game. You could be watching Oklahoma at Ohio State, which also might be a very good game. You could even be watching Mississippi State at Louisiana Tech, which, shit, maybe that'll be a good game. You could be mm-hmm. sticking around and waiting to watch Stanford USC. So you have plenty of alternative football options that you would not be mocked for choosing over a hobbled Georgia against your grandpa's favorite bullshit.
You could be rolling through the still opening stanzas, the first and second act of South Carolina, Missouri, which will extend deep into the midnight and possibly 1 a.m. hour. So you could be investing in that too for the ultimate payoff. It's like a Burmese opera. It's going to last like 8 hours. You're not going to really be sure what's happening. But at the end, you'll be confused, overwhelmed, and exhilarated. And you'll probably forget it all. But still, you could be watching that. So I don't know. Like, maybe you'll be a better person for not watching it. I don't know. If you go rob a bank, probably not. If you watch another game, I don't know, maybe.
Hold on. Why'd you rob the bank?
That's a good hit. Like, to feed the orphans? To save the orphanage?
Yeah.
The only reason I rob banks. There's not enough of that in film these days, by the way. Crime for the right reason, right? Like, I think it says something that, like, there used to be a bunch of movies where they're like, yeah, we're going to rob a bank, but it's for the right reasons. That's why we're going to do it. Now it's like, why would you take anything from our benevolent corporate overlord? In the 70s, they're like, nah, man, we're going to knock over a liquor store for the right reasons.
Here at Orphan Corp, we leverage loans against these orphans.
It's brilliant. This one's, by the way, I just want to also get this prediction on the board before somebody else picks one. Andrew Masoda, at Andrew Masoda, Western Michigan over Michigan State by 2 scores.
Jesus.
2 scores. Lewerk is MSU's leading rusher for the second time this year. Maybe, man. I don't know. Western Michigan went and gave USC the full effort. Took him to the wire. So, yeah.
They looked very comfortable running against USC. Very comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what Michigan State looked like in opening week? Week one?
Nobody knows. Nobody watched.
That's right. No, nobody watched that game. Actually, I watched a little bit of it.
What is wrong with you?
It was opening week.
You watched so many bad teams on opening. You watched the Boston College game that we specifically told people don't watch this or we'll have to have an intervention for you. How are you a drug counselor who's still doing heroin?
That's the irony of my story. Don't you understand scripting?
No! No!
Character development?
How are you definitely know what to steer people away from if you don't test it yourself? To be clear,
Spencer is the poison taster at the King's table.
I'm like Alex Jones with weed, only trying it just to test the strength for everybody else.
Sire, this Indiana at Virginia, it's gone terribly wrong. Don't sample of it. I will eat all of it because I love you, my liege.
I think it's if Rasputin was a poison tester. Like, he's just really, really good at this job.
Can we also get this prediction from at Emerzy? Auburn will beat Clemson in a game with 5 missed field goals.
Is there any sadder, worse, wasted moment than watching a game where somebody misses like 4 or 5 field goals? It's just by the second or third, you can feel it coming. And it's the coach's duty at that point, right? Like, there was a controversy this week. Ed Cunningham, an announcer, quit calling college football because he doesn't think that with the amount of head trauma involved, he can be involved. The game that pushed him into that, per the New York Times, was the Iowa-Florida bowl game where C.J. Beathard just sat there and took a beating. A horrendous one. Anyone who watched that bowl game was horrified and genuinely like wondered if the Iowa coaching staff was like doing either the right or sensible thing or just, you know, I don't know. He didn't want to come out and the doctors cleared up. Yeah, take him out. He's getting thrown around out there. Right. Anyway. At some point, the coaches have to intervene and come in and say, hey, we're going to take you out of the game and we're going to control the situation. So this doesn't look so bad. When you send a kicker out after missing 2, psychologically, maybe you're trying to break that streak. If the kicker's missed 3, I don't know, man, go for it. Just pass, run, call a trick play, punt. Even if you're on like the 20, don't send the kicker out there again because he's going to miss the 4th and he's going to miss the 5th. I don't know what the most field goals missed in a game is, but I bet that dude never hit another one again. Just could not put it between the uprights.
Most field goals missed. Guess the teams. Hang on. Guess with your hearts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Are they? Can you give us? Are they Power Five teams or not?
Power Five.
Oh boy. Okay.
Now listen.
Wake Forest.
I'm telling you. No, clear your mind.
Yeah.
Speak from the heart.
Florida State.
Close.
Florida.
One part of the game. Now, who out of the teams you play?
Yeah.
Which team?
Georgia.
Set this record. Close.
Tennessee.
It's in the realm of rival.
South Carolina.
LSU versus Florida, 1972. Missed 7 field goals.
Holy shit!
Just was 2 one, per was quarter.
Was it spraying one kicker? Spraying them all over the plate.
It doesn't say. The NCAA record books don't shame whoever contributed to the effort, but
okay, so this is 1972 LSU Florida,
and,
right?
And if the hold on. Oh my god. This is an amazing game. All right.
Did we record all this too?
Yeah, we're probably still running.
Sure, throw it in.
LSU, so this game finished tied 3-3.
Oh my fucking god.
So they attempted, LSU drove to win the game, attempted a 37-yard field goal 25 seconds ago. The kick was blocked, but the officials ruled that Florida players had touched the ball twice, and when an LSU player fell on it, the Tigers got it back. He then tried a 32-yard field goal, but it went wide.
The greatest game ever played.
Jesus.
Oh my god. So that was
when
that
people
was...
say when people say the LSU Florida rivalry began in 2016 or 2007 or 2006. No. 1972.
Hey there, I'm Dieter Bohn from The Verge, and I'm dropping into the podcast to remind you of something. Apple is going to release a new iPhone in September. They do literally every September, but this year it's going to be a really big deal. And so our podcast, The Vergecast, is going to record in front of a live audience the day after Apple's announcement. We'll be recording on September 13th in San Francisco, and you can get tickets at bit.ly/TheVergecastSF. That's bit.ly/TheVergecastSF. We hope to see you there.